Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. At this time, we would like to welcome you for the conference call for the third quarter 19 for CESP, Companhia Energética de São Paulo. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded. After the CESP presentation, there will be a question and answer session for analysts and investors. Should any participant require assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We also have a live webcast with audio and slides that can be accessed at the IR site at www.ri.cesp.com.br. The presentation is also available for download at the site. The information is available in reais according to the Brazilian corporation legislation and the accounting practices adopted in Brazil, the BR GAAP, and in accordance with international accounting standards such as IFRS, unless otherwise stated. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that forward-looking statements made during the conference call referring to business outlook for CESP, projections and operation and financial goals are based on beliefs and premises of the company management as well as information currently available. These are no guarantees of performance as they involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. They refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could affect the future performance of the company and lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in these statements. Today, we have Mr. Mario Bertoncini, the CEO and IRO, and Marcelo de Jesus, CFO. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Bertoncini, who will begin the presentation.
Good morning to all, and thank you for participating in our earnings results from the third quarter. Regarding our agenda today, we're going to begin with the highlights of the third quarter at CESP. And ensuing this, I will remark on the movements of our assets and liabilities in terms of litigation. And in the following part, we will be referring to our outlook on the energy market and which have been the different movements in the quarter that is just ending and what we expect until the close of the year. And after this, I will give the floor to our CFO, who will speak about our financial performance. And we will, during the close, speak about our expectations going forward. We are on page 4 of our material, where we show you the highlights of the third quarter of 2019. Once again, CESP has achieved a good quarter. We generated 1,013 megawatts average energy for the quarter with a continuous generation that is above our physical guarantee and with an availability of 94%. Once again, this is reasonably above the annual benchmark. We would also like to highlight that last week we received the approval of our energy trading company, ANEEL, and the trading board approved the creation of our trading company, and we will also be focusing on this. Perhaps you will recall that in previous calls, we had moved forward in terms of the governance. We had carried out a survey of hydrological risks, and we had gone through all of the different levels that we required in terms of governance. In the third quarter, we have also concluded the creation of our functional team for the trading company, and we are now working with the updating of the system so that we can put the trading company up and running at the beginning of the year 2020. When it comes to our litigations, which is another highlight, We would like to mention that before the monetary restatement at the beginning of the year, in terms of liabilities, pro forma, we had 759 million reais, basically throughout the third quarter, but through some negotiations that we have also carried out in October, and we are able to present to you updated data in pro forma in September, adjusted with the negotiations carried out in October. Concomitantly with this, we also released another 203 million in court deposits, and you will see the details of these. When it comes to our financial performance, we ended the quarter with an adjusted EBITDA of 200 and some million dollars, an EBITDA margin of 57%, an expressive increase vis-a-vis the results of the third quarter 2018, and very much in line with our expectations. Also in line with our expectations, and we had already anticipated this to the market, we implemented a reduction of 141% in terms of operating expenses when compared to the same quarter in 2018. And once again, we will offer you more details in terms of this. Now, the results have allowed us a free cash flow of 130 million reais for the first 9 months of the year, or for the first three quarters up to present, with a cash conversion of 69%. And cash conversion is our operating cash flow. And it includes the service of the debt, not the principal of the debt, of course, vis-a-vis the EBITDA. On page number 6, we give you the details of our liabilities in the litigation. We have made great strides when it comes to the processes of our liabilities, not only in terms of court, but also in terms of our negotiations. As I have already mentioned, we had an amount of 759 million pro forma before the monetary restatement. And this due to two factors. We had some favorable legal decisions during the quarter and the negotiations that we implemented during the third quarter and throughout the month of October as well. These legal agreements and negotiations were partially counterbalanced with some adjustments that we did in the remaining balance, allowing us this reduction of 759 million, which I had mentioned. In the graph to the left, you see the evolution of our total litigation, the probable sum of our litigation. We opened the semester in 2019 with 12 billion 15 million, and throughout this period, we have had a monetary restatement, an updating of 379 million reais, taking us to 12 billion 394 million. As of that point, some movements, especially some favorable judgments, favorable to CESPI, some readjustments, represented a reduction, a net reduction of this litigation of 438 million reais. We then had legal agreements carried out in October with another 321 million reais. And upon the close of September, we got to 11.635 million reais for the litigation. To the right of the graph, you see a part of this probable variation and a part that has also been provisioned. We began the semester with a total amount of 2.120 billion reais as provisions, and with monetary restatement and interest, we had an increase of 96 million in the balance, and the favorable agreements and negotiations allowed us a reduction of that similar amount. So pro forma, we ended the semester in September and October with those same 2.120 million reais. And the legal or court deposits that I have mentioned, with a reduction. And with this, we ended September pro forma with total court deposits of 341 million reais, significantly below the amount that we have owed. In the following page, number 7, we show you the update of our protest at Três Irmãos. Once again, I believe that the market has followed us on this quite steadily. As many of you know, a fiscal expert presented in his revision an amount of 4.7 billion as the money that should be returned. This is made up of several installments, one for the plant of Três Irmãos of 1.9 billion, one for the lock gates and channel of 1 billion, and the land associated for the construction of the plant of 1.8 billion. Altogether representing 4.7 billion reais. Now, in the third quarter, what has happened with this process? If we look at the timeline, it is on page number 7. You will recall that in the previous quarter, in June 2019, at CESPI, we expressed our technical manifestation on the report of this fiscal expert. Now, in the month of August, the union presented its second technical manifestation referring to this fiscal report. And once again, this report had been updated to the 4.7 billion. Well, there is no difference vis-a-vis the first manifestation of the union in April of this year. In the month of September, based on an intervention of a judge, the Secretary of State of the Sao Paulo manifested the withdrawal of these reports based on the opinion of the Secretary of State, and all of this was registered in the month of September. And at present, we are awaiting, we have an expectation at CESPI, and we would like to reiterate the sovereign decisions that pertains to the judge. Now, that we're going to proceed according to the schedule, and we hope that there will be a period for the expert to make his manifestation. And once the expert has made the manifestations, it is very possible that the judge will allow for a new evidentiary hearings. Now, if this is confirmed, we will then have a period for judgment, which means that we expect that all of this will happen at the beginning or until the first semester of the year 2020. On the following slide, we're going to speak about the energy market on page 9 of our material. Now, the third quarter that has just ended was basically impacted by two great factors. We had the natural affluent energy, the below the historical averages and below the market expectations, along with energy consumption that has been corrected downwards through the ONS during the previous semesters as well as this quarter, and ended up being somewhat below the market expectations. Throughout the year 2019, the ONS has observed a consumption of 1.8. And this is the forecast for the entire year 2019 compared to the year 2018. On page number 9 in the graph to the left, what we see is the long-term average for the ENA, the affluent natural energy, and the curve in red. And in gray, what we observe is the real evolution of that affluent natural energy from January to September. And what we see here is the evolution in prices during the first period, basically during the first quarter of the year, in January and February. The affluent natural energy in the gray part of the graph basically was below the historical average, which is the red curve. You have that white area between the red curve and the gray area. This allied to a very high consumption at the beginning of the year, which you can observe in the green curve. And to the right, we see the prices at the beginning of 2019. Now, this is a combination of a low affluent natural energy and consumption. And in the second semester of the year, we expect to have a very balanced affluent natural energy with a load level very similar to the one of last year, a convergence at the levels that we had in 2018, and a certain price accommodation with affluent natural gas around 95-96%. In the third quarter, this gap of the affluent natural energy opens up. In August and September, what we observe is an affluent natural energy possibly below that. We see that gap between the red curve and the gray area. And based on the expectations of CESI, we should close with an affluent natural energy of 60%, much lower, therefore. And more recently, of course, this has led to an increase of energy prices in the short term, especially for December, November and December. Now, these factors have also showed us the following: a hydrology much lower than was expected, an increase in prices, a consumption of energy that at this point is growing beyond expectations. And of course, all of this will lead us to a greater decrease of the generation scaling factor. We were able to mitigate the hydrological risks through our trading strategy, especially in the third quarter, through a very proactive trading strategy. And on page number 10, in the first graph to the left, graph number 1, what you see is an update of the GSF and the impact. And what we do in graph number 3 is the show you the purchases that we carried out during the quarters. In the third quarter, we purchased energy to ensure a good modulation of GSF at an average price in the quarter of 230 of 2 reais per megawatt hour. This you can observe in graph number 3. Now, this less favorable hydrological outlook will open up new caps for the last quarter of the year, the fourth quarter, and this is what we show you in graph number 4 of this page at the lower right corner. On September 30th, we had an exposure for the year of 40 megawatts average. An important part of this has already been eliminated, and we will continue to eliminate this during the end of the year. Once again, this is part of the process of transparency that we have when it comes to our energy balance. Along with our management of the energy balance in 2019, we continue to the process of reducing our energy between the year 2020-2022. Well, there's still a remaining amount, and whenever the time is propitious, we will speak about this. But we are attempting to reduce our deficit steadily. I would now like to give the floor to Marcelo, who will present our financial performance. Thank you. A good day to all of you. And we now go on to page number 12, where we show you discipline in our cost management. At the top of the page, we show you the total of costs and expenses during the quarter, 557 million, a reduction of 64% vis-a-vis the same quarter, 2018. At the top of the page, we show you what has contributed towards this reduction. One of them was the purchase of energy. There was a reduction of 64% during the quarter. And this is the result of the strategy in terms of our management of the energy balance and our exposure. The next line that contributed to this reduction is personnel and management, with a reduction of 44% vis-a-vis the third quarter to 18, thanks to the reduction of approximately 50 employees and also thanks to the change in the profile of our personnel. I would like to highlight that we received the stamp of Great Place to work. Now, when we analyze the data of outsourced services, materials, and leads, we had a reduction of 39% vis-a-vis the same quarter in the previous year. This is due to the renegotiation of contracts and a change of the process in terms of hiring, trying to capture greater efficiencies. We continue on page 13. In the upper left, we show you our net revenues with a minor reduction of 7%. Now, this reduction is once again due to the management of our energy balance. And through the purchase of energy, we can have reductions as well as a decontracting during the quarter. To the right, we show you the evolution of our EBITDA. Adjusted EBITDA in the third quarter had an increase of 210 million reais vis-a-vis the last quarter. Now, this is due to the reasons that we have already mentioned. Once again, the management of our energy balance. And on the other hand, a great discipline in terms of the management of other expenses. In the bottom part of page number 13, we show you our cash flow for the end of the month of September. The operating cash flow was 344 million reais. Now, in terms of capex and the payment of interest and the payment of litigation dividends, now this operating cash flow win compared to the EBITDA shows a cash release of 69% on the following page. We show you the reduction of the company's net debt. But still speaking about operating cash flow, we have here the net effect in terms of new debt, fundraising for the Primavera Port, and the payment of dividends, giving us cash flow of 130 million reais during this quarter, and 540 million in cash for the end of September. On page number 14, once again, we show you our CESPE capital. Now, in terms of the leverage from the third quarter, we got the 2.4 net debt adjusted EBITDA, a reduction when compared with the second quarter, where it was 4. Now, this reduction, once again, impacted by a strong cash reduction and the EBITDA as presented in the previous page. To the right of the page, the indebtedness in the third quarter, the gross debt, an average term of 4.5 years, and I would now like to return the floor to Mario to speak about the main initiative.
Thank you, Mario. A good day to all of you. And I'm going to begin my presentation beginning on page number 12 that refers to our financial performance. At the top of the page, we show you the amount of costs that we have been able to save, a reduction of 41% vis-a-vis the same quarter of the previous year. At the top of the page, we would like to explain the contributions that led to this decrease. The first is the purchase of energy with a reduction of 64% in the quarter, with the results that were presented in thanks to our new strategy of the energy balance management. The second contribution in the EBITDA line that contributed to this reduction was a reduction of 44%, referring vis-a-vis the previous year, and this is due to a reduction of approximately 50 employees and also due to a change in the professional profile of this personnel. Now, still speaking about personnel, I would like to highlight a great achievement that we had. We conquered the Stanford Place to Work. Now, when we analyze the data of outsourced work, material, and leases, we achieved a reduction of 39% vis-a-vis the same quarter the previous year. This thanks to a renegotiation of contracts and a review of the processes, enabling us to gain ever more efficiency. We continue on to page 13, where we present the net revenue with a minor drop vis-a-vis the same quarter the last year. And this drop is once again due to our energy balance management strategy. And when it makes sense, we purchase energy, but we can also work with a decompressing during the quarter. To the right, we show you the EBITDA variation. The EBITDA that in the third quarter reached 235 million reais, an increase of 210 million reais vis-a-vis the third quarter of 18. This is once again due to our energy balance, our new management, our purchase of energy, and greater discipline in the management of other line items. In the lower part of page number 13, we refer to our cash flow that ended in September of 2019. And we had a debt of 364 million reais, but cash flow after capex and the payment of dividends, the payment of a grant, and these are the main factors. The operating cash flow, when compared to the EBITDA, results in a cash generation of 69%. And of course, this has a tight relationship with our EBITDA. In the next page, we show you the reduction are indebtedness. Now, still speaking about EBITDA and operating cash flow, we carried out some payments and we have some payments for the grant of Puerto Primavera, and all of this gave us a free cash flow of 130 million reais in September of 2019 and 540 million reais in cash. We now go on to page number 14, where we show you the capital structure. And for the leverage in this third quarter, it is 2.4 times net debt adjusted EBITDA, a considerable reduction when compared with the second quarter of this year. Now, this reduction impacted by the strong relationship of cash and adjusted EBITDA as presented in the previous page. We speak about our indebtedness profile as tested for this quarter, growth debt of 1.8 million reais with an average term of the debt of 4.5 years. And the payment of debenture, a CDI plus 1.64% per year. I would now like to return the floor to Mario for the closing remarks. Thank you, Marcelo. And one, we were going to refer to the main initiatives, as you can see on page 16. One of our main focuses is the operational efficiency. We concluded the first and the main stage of the implementation of the SAP system. And this has already been presented very positive results. The system has been run, and this enables us to have greater stability in terms of control and information, and of course much greater control compared to the past. We also have a program for a very precise review of operating costs and expenses. This is the assessment. We're working on our budget, and we're thinking about new systems to be able to continue on with this very precise and detailed system that we are implementing. And as part of our agenda, we are returning real estate and monetizing non-operational buildings, especially in the part of the real estate. And this you will see every more in the next month and quarter. In terms of the contingency, we are proceeding as has been presented, when we spoke about the liabilities that we still had in terms of the litigation. If possible, we are releasing our court deposits as well. We're also actively working on the litigation of today's deadline. And as soon as that is in the news, we will allow the market to discover this first hand. And of course, this would be in our best interest. When it comes to the trading of energy, we are working with a more proactive trading with more market intelligence based on our new energy balance management. And we are, of course, trying to obtain better information in terms of GSF. And we want to ensure that we will be highly efficient in terms of the trading of energy. The approval of the trading company, as has been mentioned, is a very important step for us. It is allowing us to be in the final stage of preparation so that we can initiate operations in 2020. We have also implemented a hedging strategy to be able to mitigate the currency exposure that we have in some of the contracts to the sale of energy that it has for the dollar. For many years, this is how SETI has worked with its contracts. This in the year 2000, perhaps. And the currency exposure, of course, is one of our greatest challenges, and that is why we are working with the hedging at present. And we were able to fully hedge our exposure in 2019. And when it comes to the market at large, as we announced last night, when we were releasing our results, we're ending the program, we're beginning the closure of the ABS program and the New York Stock Exchange. At present, we have two different American depository receipts, one that refers to the common share, EOS, and one that refers to the PNA. Now, both of these shares and classes will be ended. And once again, these were created by SETI at the end of the 1990s, and they no longer comply with the purposes of the company or the desire to be invested. Based on the announcement that was carried out yesterday during our release, we will begin the process to end the ABR program. Now, alongside with the end of the program, each of the ON and PNA shares in the stock market of Sao Paulo will undergo a new share buyback process. Once again, it's not simply a broader massive buyback shift. This is a program, of course, that we have to be approved and clearly disseminated. And it is geared towards offering support for the closing of the ABR program. And as we sell out the ABRs in the United States and receive money in Brazil, we intend to invest this money in the stock exchange of Sao Paulo. And if we need to go into the market with some approve a buyback, it will be done based on the close of the ADR program. Besides this, we were able to move forward in our hiring agenda. We are now trying to hire a market maker for that will be working for us in the Sao Paulo Stock Exchange. We're doing this in a more assertive way and a more participative way in the market. And at present, we do have a great deal of participation in the American market. Now, this is something that we will be doing regularly for the Brazilian market. With this, I would like to end the first part of our conference call and open the floor for your questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lou, and we will now open the question and answer session. Should you wish to pose a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Thiago Silva from Santander. You may proceed, Thiago. I have two questions. The first referring to the process of liabilities. Now, may I proceed? Yes, you may, Thiago. Once again, good morning. I have two questions. The first referring to the process of reduction of liabilities. We saw that there were 759 million in adjustment for the restatement of this process. I would like to know if you could give us more color in terms of how the law firms have worked with these cases, especially the 45 cases that represent almost 10 billion reais, if the situation is easier or more difficult than you had foreseen, or if you have timing of when this can be offset. I know it is difficult to offer guidance, but simply so that we can understand how the process is proceeding. Secondly, we know that you're still in a turnaround process, putting the house in order. A great deal has been done, but the company, in terms of operation, begins very strongly with a very good cash generation. If we can consider that the next step of CESPI will be growth, given the opportunities that exist in Brazil. Thank you. Hello, Thiago. This is Mario, and thank you for your questions. Let us begin with our litigation liabilities. Once again, this is quite in line with the scenarios that we had expected. There are some short-term cases that will still be judged, and we have been very successful in the most important cases. We have been able to set up a sound defense based on solid facts, which have contributed to our success. Additionally, and very judicially, in some cases, we have initiated conversations and negotiations as the one that was concluded in October. This process will continue on. Once again, we're not going to speak or offer guidance about the future evolution. What I can say is that we're aligned with what we were expecting, and the work is a de-risking of CESPI, of the litigation, and of course being very transparent in terms of the cost incurred upon for this dismantling. The costs are very aligned with the provisions that we have made, and we're moving forward positively and as foreseen on that front. Now, when it comes to growth, this is not the time. Our agenda is not one with a focus on alternatives for growth. We do have significant homework. We have to reduce the cost of CESPE when it comes to its litigation. We have to train the CESPE team for it to be expeditious and rapid in its performance. We have to once again improve the costs and expenses. We do have many, many things to do in-house, and we are trying to work as best as possible with it. It is a company that has generated significant cash, and if we put it in order, it will have a very quick deleveraging, as we have shown you. For the time being, our focus is to prepare CESPE for a future stage in growth. For the time being, we're not focused on this juggle. Thank you. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please press star 1. The next question comes from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. You may proceed. Hey, good morning and thank you for the call. I have two questions. You have spoken about the hydrological situation of this year and mentioned that you have the necessary authorization to begin operations at the CESPE trading company. Could you explain to us how you're going to work in terms of the mitigation of the hydrological risk in 2019-2020, which will be the hydrological scenario? And based on this authorization for an energy trading company, what is it that we can expect from you, something that would be different vis-a-vis this year in terms of efficiency? In the presentation, you have highlighted some significant enhancement in the renegotiation of contracts and expenses with third parties. Is this going to be constant? And will we have additional advances thanks to the implementation of SAP? Thank you, Carolina, for the question. In terms of the hydrological scenario, it is, of course, drier. It is a drier season in the third and fourth quarters of this year, but the prices have not been severely impacted. The prices for the year 2020 still have not felt the impact of it. Perhaps there will be no impact. We're following very closely on this hydrological scenario, and the way to respond to this will be based on a curve that we will present at the end of the year. And from then onwards, we will continue with that management to mitigate our sold positions. And once again, when it comes to the trading company, it comes about with significant governance that is fully set up. It is managed by a managed risk, and it will have the freedom to set up positions, of course, taking into account pre-established risk levels as part of the CESPE strategy. Once again, we aren't anticipating results. We do have expectations. We're working based on a plan, but we can't disseminate this to the market. We're going to begin with low to moderate activities at the trading, testing our models and our assertiveness through time in a very judicious way. When it comes to your second question in terms of recurrent expenses, the third quarter, I think, is a good mirror of the possible and potential savings we have in outsourced employees, the leases, materials, and the payroll of the CESPE personnel. Of course, there's room for further reduction, but this reduction will be lower vis-a-vis with what we have already achieved. What we have at present is significant work in terms of our design for the 2020 budget. We're not anticipating our guidance, but of course, this work will be permanent. And we can obtain additional gains in margins, marginal gains. Oh, very good. Thank you for your responses. Thank you, Carol. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Gustavo Nieli from Itaú Bank. You may proceed. Good morning, Mario and Marcelo, and thank you for the presentation. We have two questions going back to the litigation liabilities. What draws attention is the release of 204 million reais. May I proceed? Yes, you may proceed. Very well. So what draws attention in terms of the litigation liabilities is that deposit of 204 million. In truth, this is valid for the fourth quarter. We would like to know if you still have room for agreement and for this type of release of cash in the coming quarters. Another doubt that we have linked to the first question refers to the company leverage. Because of the more robust EBITDA levels and the sequential agreements that have contributed to the FESPI cash generation, we're foreseeing a very low leverage going forward in 2020-2021. And the question refers to dividends. What do you have in mind, given that growing is not your focus in the short term? What will happen with possible extraordinary dividends in 2020-2021? And how would this work? Perhaps through a reduction of capital, which would be the regulatory challenges for this. If you could once again speak about the dividend outlook for the future. Thank you. Thank you, Gustavo, for the questions. When it comes to the core deposits, when we took office at CESPI with the privatization, the company had an expressive amount of core deposits, 570 million, approximately. We do have a task force, an important in-house front to release core deposits through substitutions of warranties in general. And we have been successful in 250 processes when it comes to releasing this core deposit. And this task force is still underway. In October, we obtained one more release, an expressive one of 204 million. Now, these efforts to release core deposits will continue and the use of warranties when necessary and adequate and, of course, when approved. I cannot forecast the volume. This is not an effort that depends on our control. It is a legal decision, but if we can use this cash more efficiently in our treasury management, of course, it will add value to the company. When it comes to the leverage, I think the market was already expecting this. We have generated significant cash. We have had a growth in EBITDA, and the reduction in leverage was expected by the market because of this. When it comes to capital allocations or extraordinary dividends or reduction of capital, no. We have no forecast of paying extraordinary dividends nor of reducing our capital. We do have a dividend policy that foresees a deliberation based on the results at the end of 2019. This is a decision of the board. I cannot refer to it. This decision has not been made yet, but we will disseminate the decision when taken. We have had expressive cash generation, and of course, dividends will be one of the fronts in terms of capital allocation. Thank you. Thank you, my dear, very clear response. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please press star 1. We will return the floor to the company for the closing remarks. I would first of all like to thank all of you for your participation in this call. We have been able to ensure that the group of analysts and investors could be able to follow us very closely. I would like to thank you for your interest in this call. Once again, this was a successful third quarter for us, very much in line with what we had anticipated. There are no surprises here, and we're going to continue working with the same momentum. I would like to thank the entire team at CESPI that is moving forward with great efficiency and expeditiousness. Thank you very much. The results conference call for CESPI and TIR. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a good day.